If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Dum da ba doom, dum da ba da ba doom, dum dum da ba doom, dum da ba da ba doom, dum dum da da ba doom, dum da ba da ba doom, dum dum da ba doom, da ba 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 da.
Welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I didn't have a lot of energy coming in, but I tell you what, that little song from Alistair, that little number,
Andy, jeez. How about this? Okay. How about we do two, three words from a listener today?
Oh.
Because just as I was looking for a three word, you know, people send them in after I was talking about how the whole system broke down. Anyway, turns out the new system is breaking down as well. But
well, I understand from what I understand, the old system is a lot like the new system. And vice versa.
The new system is like I don't even collect them all into one place. And so anyway. But I realized that the problem with the last one was that it's hard to know which ones I've already done because I forget everything. Anyway, but while I'd already written down three words. Ugh. Imagine if I was starting to only write down two words. That's how you could fuck it up one more time. I noticed somebody had sent me a message saying my words were missed, and then I had already missed that message again.
Wow.
So we're going to start off with three words from Alex Lloyd because he is amazing.
Yes.
and the three words, Andy.
Yes.
Do you want to try and guess? Because we missed Alex's last words, yeah, and we're going to miss them again if we don't do them right now.
Okay. The first word is streetscape.
Is what?
Streetscape. Streetscape. You know, like a landscape, you know, but what? In the street.
There's kind of a similarity to it, like in terms of the letters. You ready?
Right, yeah.
Skeleton.
Oh. Yeah. My son, Remy, today said, did you know a skeleton is a person but made from bones? And I thought, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a person without their skin coat.
Mm.
Their flesh
Do you think
coat.
That we could invent a person that's entirely bone-based? You know, that is still functions, right? But it would have to use bones in novel ways. You know, bones for everything. It's all bones.
Like having an exoskeleton and an endoskeleton? Is it endoskeleton or is that hot?
Exactly right. I mean, you look at something like the ear and you're like, isn't that great? It's using bones in a totally new way, right?
Mm.
And I'd just like to see if we could do that for every other bit of the body as well. Anyway.
I like collecting bone.
This is exactly Alistair. Yes. I love that you're on board. I realize this isn't the spirit of the three words from a listener.
I know, but imagine that little bone reeds.
Mm.
You know, essentially bone spurs. I don't know exactly what a bone spur is, but so small that when a photon hits it, it vibrates.
Yeah, with the power of the photon.
And so then you get it, and it's just kind of like it's more like one of those radio, you know, like radio antennas, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a big long wire, but it's just yeah. it's just a person laying on the ground who can't really move. They got really thin skeleton absorbing light.
Yeah. You have something like a bone version of a TV antenna sticking out of where each eye would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of the socket. Great.
I guess like tiny little rib cages.
Yeah, yeah. It's starting to sound almost too easy.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the first word, skeleton.
Yeah, okay. And the second word is retroactive.
No, it's on.
Skeleton on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad. That was a soft one. I'm going to save up my energy for the third word, which is going to be a big one. okay? Skeleton on laser disc.
Well, not close, but a similar shape.
Shape.
Skeleton on dunny.
Oh, yes. Okay, so obviously this is a reference, direct reference to the episode of Round the Twist that terrified me the most as a child, Skeleton on the Dunny. And I believe we've talked about doing a modern gritty reboot of Round the Twist, which would obviously just be called Twist, right? About a family, a whole lot of fucked up shit happens.
Or Round?
Or possibly Round. Or maybe just On.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, there is no On. There is no
there is
On.
No on. But, no, but I mean,
the,
there is.
Maybe just the.
Unless you were talking about the On, O-U-N.
I was, yeah.
Like you're round, like you're rounded down the round.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Skeleton on the dunny. Well, I think, you know what? I think what I need probably to help me overcome this.
Your terrible this fear.
This terrible fear is sort of a. Basically, a permanent dunny skeleton, right? One that is built into the toilet, and you basically sit on its lap and shit down sort of between its bony thighs, its femurs, and, you know, it's just there at all times. It wouldn't be comfortable, but it would be, you know, it would help, I think, in some ways.
Well, I think anybody who dies on the toilet, out of respect, you should leave them there.
Okay.
And then, like, imagine that, being able to sit on, like...
This is a fantastic version of the word respect, the concept of respect.
You know, you're able to sit on Elvis's lap and go toilet in between his legs.
Mm. Oh, imagine if they'd done that at Graceland. That would really be something. Mm. If he was still there on the loo.
Yeah. I think he was. Maybe that happened in a hotel. That's always what something I pictured. But
yeah, I mean, they say that he died on the toilet, but probably he fell off the toilet. Right? He probably had a heart attack and fell to the ground. It's very unlikely he stayed on the toilet.
I guess it depends on how chunky his underside was at the time. Maybe it gets a real grip in. You know, like it has like a kind of grapple hook type effect if you push a lot of butt flesh through the hole.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that is. I guess that is the very definition of unfinished business, isn't it? You know, on the toilet there.
Sure. So you think he would come back as a ghost?
A ghost needing to take one last shit.
Yeah, but he would. What he needs you to put the toilet seat up or something?
Yeah, maybe. I suppose could be part of it.
When he fell down, when he fell off the toilet, the seat went down. Because his cape was caught on it.
Well, obviously that song Walking in Memphis, right, talks about seeing the ghost of Elvis walking through the gates of Graceland.
Heaven.
And has that famous line, there's a pretty little thing waiting for him down in the jungle room.
Is it a poo?
I think it's probably a toilet or a poo. Oh, I'm sorry, everyone.
That's all good. Now, is there any sketch in
well,
this?
Well, I look, okay, let's just go back to this idea of a skeleton permanently on your toilet seat. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of excitement around skeleton-based novelties around the Halloween thing. Remember how excited people got about that giant skeleton from Home Depot, right?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, it was a thing. It was a big thing probably 2 years ago, right, on Twitter. Everyone was tweeting about it, how they were going to get one of these giant skeletons and how excited they were. Well,
right.
This is a new one, toilet skeleton, okay? Just sits there, right? You lean back against his. You could probably build a whole toilet system based around a squatting man. You know, the cistern itself, the water could be stored in the chest cavity area. You know, I guess it flushes down.
Oh, you know, it'd be cool if maybe the skeleton's hands could go under the seat. And then like
catch
just
kind of
clean up, like pick up some toilet water and splash it on your anus and stuff like that and clean your anus up a bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it kind of just, and then, it, yeah. and then you flush. And then while it's flushing, it's kind of rinsing off its hands in the sort of the downflow.
Oh, that's great. So it's a kind of a bidet type thing, but it is a hand cupping and splashing a little bit of toilet water onto your butt. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really nice. Well, I think.
And then maybe the other hand could grab like that little blue toilet thing and rub that on there, like use it like soap or whatever.
Sure, why not?
On your butt. Imagine that. I've always felt jealous of the toilet
getting to have that stuff sloshed around in there. And I don't get any of that.
We don't?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing, isn't it?
Yep. That stuff smells so bad. I mean.
Yeah, well, it depends which ones, but some of them really bad.
Yeah, some of them smell really good, do they? There are some great ones.
I think there's some. I think that there's been real progress in the in the toilet scent thing, you know, and especially in sort of urinals and stuff like that.
Yep.
Especially that. I like that one that's a mat. Mm. It's like a mat with like holes in it and it completely diffuses the pee stream.
The splashback and stuff. Yeah. That was pretty clever. I wonder what sort of urinal genius was working on that. Where's their beautiful mind? Where's their Nobel Prize?
You know what the one sad thing about the toilet segregation is that I imagine women haven't got to see the sort of the evolution that's happened over time, and that's only a thing that men get to enjoy.
Yeah, I think that
of the urinal cake.
Well, I think probably because their toilet system was perfected a long time ago, and yet us with our insistence on peeing standing up. Right, introduces so many more variables, so many more potential problems that need to be solved. It is a driver of innovation, but you know they don't. You know they don't need that because.
So you think the joy that they've got from having arrived is sufficient to replace the joy of seeing this progress? Because I feel like progress is one of the great joys in life.
Yeah, but another great joy in life is not having urine on your pants. And those two really are level pegging for me.
They still often have the urine from, you know, any unisex toilets where guys have peed on the seat.
I don't know if they do. I don't think they sit down straight on that urine.
I know, but what about like it's just urine that's like stuck to the side of the bowl or whatever from a guy's like you know, sitting down to poop and then there's like somehow he's peeing in between the bowl and the seat.
Yeah, okay.
Have you ever accidentally done that?
Yeah, of course I have, Alistair.
Isn't that insane?
It's a disaster.
What a huge flaw. Shouldn't there be like a shield or something like that? A little mud flap?
Shouldn't there be some little weights that you can clip onto your penis so that the stream doesn't accidentally misdirect itself.
He waits.
Okay, here we go. Wang waits.
I guess that would also work on sort of the on helping point the female urethra downward.
I don't know if it needs help with that, but look, why not? Let's bring it in.
No, but I'm talking about for a, you know, like I don't know if it needs help either. But I assume that there's, you know, if you're having a bush wee, and if you've got your pants down and you're kind of not pulling them straight back, you can't be 100% sure where the stream is going to go until you start. But
I love being this deep into female anatomy speculation.
Well, this is what I'm guessing, right? But with these new urethral pee weights, which work on both men and women.
That's great.
You know that the jet is going to be aimed as close to the ground as, you know, as it can, because it will be, you know, the weights will be pulling them towards the center of the earth.
Yep. Now, is this a communal pee weight situation, or is it a personal private pee weight that you take with you? You know,
I would say everybody has their own.
All right, so it's not just like hanging over the back of the doorknob in the cubicle.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
No, I think you just kind of like, you just clip it on.
Sure. All right, so that's the first sketch idea. Great, it's really good. It's really good. We're taking that into Dragon's Den. We're taking that onto Dragon's Den, and we are getting the record level of investment. The most that they've ever had. Everyone is so excited. People are standing on their desks screaming to get on board with this product. Different dragons are fighting and clawing at one another's flesh.
They've actually changed into their dragon forms and they're burning each other with fire.
Yeah, this was the one.
Now, when you say people are standing on their desks, are these people who work on the production of the show? Yeah. Because I know that the dragons are just sitting at chairs, or did they bring in desks just to stand on them? That's how excited they are.
Look, okay. Well, this is unfortunate. I don't know anything about the show. But maybe one of the earlier contestants on the show was doing some sort of new desk idea, right?
Oh, nude desk.
Nude desk idea. And,
That's cool. I like that. Yeah, yeah. What would do you think? What do you picture for a new desk?
What would the new desk look like? Well, yeah, clearly you've already got two legs, so it seems crazy that you're paying for a desk to have four legs when you've got two. So it's a desk that basically
clips on.
It clips onto your two legs. Yeah.
I guess if it's like a desk that you use as bum bag technology.
BBT. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but imagine that if it could fit in a bum bag.
Well, this is an idea I had a long time ago when I was working on a show called The Chaser's Election Desk. And it was a comedy show about the election. And I thought that what you should have is if you're trying to interview politicians out in the street, you should have a bum bag which contains a gas canister, and then using whatever they use to make airbags for cars, you know, you can hit a button and it just inflates a big desk out in front of you so that you can interview them at the desk but on the street, you know, and you're never, you know, you're always at your desk. And I think in this era of wireless offices, you know, nomad employees and that other thing, you know, remote working. I think a little desk that can burst out of a bum bag. So good.
It would be the best, wouldn't it? God.
Mm. Do you you ever wear your bum bag around the back on the bum? Or you wear it around the front?
Like I wear it over the bum, like over, not over the top of the bum, like not above the bum on the small of the back, but over the actual butt.
Yeah, wow.
So that it kind of... Because sometimes I worry that my butt cheeks are too far apart, and I feel like that I can tighten them up and just keep them
under control.
Yeah,
lash them in corset style. Yeah, one to the other.
You know, would you say that the butt cheek is kind of like it's sort of like the outer labia of the butt?
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
and so. Would you, is there an inner labia of the butt? I guess that kind of like that butt hair that I was too late to find out about. I didn't find out about it made me feel awful.
About your own personal butt hair?
Yeah.
Did you think that there was something wrong with you when you discovered you had it?
I think a little bit. I was like, oh, this is unpleasant.
Yeah, right. I've almost not thought about it at all. And I guess that's this form of privilege that I have. Yeah.
That's cool. That's really nice, Andy. Yeah. Maybe it's because you're blonde and you don't see it.
I don't see it. And I am looking. I am looking hard. But there, I mean, like, almost transparent.
Because is your leg hair transparent? Is your leg hair blonde or is it kind of brown?
My leg hair is basically transparent, yeah. So, you know, my legs look like they are surrounded by a sort of just a haze. Just, they're slightly out of focus. Which makes them look, I think, more seductive. You know, like a Vaseline lens.
I'd never thought about how blonde your whole body would be.
Well, you see me approaching you with the light behind me. And my shorts on, it's really quite something. I do look like I am
emerging.
Your
hair does kind of act a bit like optical fibers, doesn't it?
Yeah, it channels the light.
That's why your eyes glow, because the hair just goes into your head, and then it illuminates the inside of your skull.
That's correct. Yeah.
Or some of it just comes out from under your eyelids, I suppose. I guess if it stays under the scalp and bounces between and the sort of the reflective.
I also have a mirrored inner skull. The, like, yeah.
Well, no, but let's say the area between the skull and the scalp, that would be kind of wet sort of, liquid, be like kind of wet.
Yeah.
Wet blood and shiny in innards, so that would probably shininess. That means it's light, is light conductive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then it probably would bounce from between skull and
and actually scalp, amplifies
up until it comes out. Yeah. And then comes out your eyelids.
This is actually not a terrible explanation of the power of the Cyclops character in the X-Men movies, which I always found to be one of the most annoying of the superpowers, because I couldn't see
he can't
a physical mechanism for how it could occur, right? Like,
you could see a mechanism for others?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I can see a
mechanism.
Which
ones?
Well, obviously Wolverine, he's just someone with increased healing abilities, right? That makes sense. Okay.
But
what
about the being able to push those blades out?
Well, they were put in there by surgery, right? So,
right, but he didn't he have bone ones before?
Yep. Well, a lot of people have bone spurs and that sort of thing, right? So, I'm not saying it's easy to imagine, unless I did say that earlier. I can't really remember what I said, but it is possible to imagine a mechanism, right, on the evolutionary, path of humanity. But someone who can shoot energy out of their eyes, to me, seemed to be so far off that path that I couldn't even accept that, evolution takes a leap forward thing, right?
Yeah, right. But what about, Rogue, you would see her as just a capacitor.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
people can get charged up with static electricity,
And so if there was different kinds of energy, sort of healing energy or whatever, Wolverine, then that's how she could absorb
exactly
Wolverine's powers.
I'm glad you completely understand and you're on board with what I'm saying.
So what about Xavier?
We know that electromagnetism does create electromagnetic fields. Thought patterns are communicated via electrical signals.
Yeah.
You can already detect the patterns in somebody's brain using an MRI machine or something like that. And so I can imagine that somebody could become sensitive to that kind of thing.
But if you can see electromagnetic energy somehow being in the thing, then why wouldn't you be able to see light emitting? Because isn't that just electromagnetic energy?
Yeah, okay. Blasting light out of your eyes is unrealistic. That's what I'm saying. That's a different thing.
What about Superman?
What about Superman, Alistair? Yeah. What about Superman?
What about the sort of just propelling himself through the air?
I didn't bring up Superman. You brought up Superman. I was talking about the X-Men and the specific explanation of the X-Men, which is that they are caused by the progress of evolution. Right? You could say, what about Doctor Strange? He's magic. Yes.
Yeah.
He's a different kettle of fish.
Quicksilver. How could he move so fast?
I'm not talking about Quicksilver.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think he is part of the X-Men, though.
Is he? Right. Well, in that case, he would be one of the ones that falls into the category of an unusual. Or does he just move fast? Is he made of metal or anything like that?
No, he's not made of metal.
Oh, well, then, that's fine. I can imagine somebody moving fast. Lots of things move real quick.
What about Iceman, the guy who can turn into complete ice?
Yes.
And then go back.
Okay, not him. He's a weird one. You can't do that.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, that's good.
The guy who can turn himself into physical metal. No. Even Magneto, I would say, he is on the implausibility spectrum. I feel like we've already talked about this on the podcast many years
Gambit?
Ago.
What about Gambit?
Gambit? No, is he just somebody who's really good at throwing things? Is that Gambit?
Well, he throws things, but then he can load them up with explosives or whatever.
Well,
like he can make whatever
anybody
he
can
explode.
Shove gunpowder into something, right?
Yeah, but I think he does it through energy or whatever.
I reckon he's just shoving it. I reckon he's just got a little thing in his pocket and he's poking it in there with his thumb.
I guess beast, you could sort of see somebody, something going wrong.
Yeah, that's just
and
a dude going
and
wrong.
And there's a lot of guys that are not that far off from looking like beast. I mean, the change is the weird bit, but
yeah.
But then what about Nightcrawler? He can sort of disappear and reappear in places.
Yeah, that's implausible.
That's implausible.
I don't know.
There's a lot of them that are implausible,
yes,
I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I just wasn't sure. You know, I didn't know.
Well, I mean, what I am sure of is that you came into this whole thing with a very accusatory tone. Like, making this outlandish claim.
I mean, I think I just felt bad for Cyclops.
Yeah, well, don't.
But then when you said he's one of the ones who seems implausible, I didn't realize you meant like sort of roughly 50, 60% of them are implausible to you.
We talked about this on the podcast, like I'm going to say like 3 or 4 years ago, Alistair. And
okay.
I've probably already said everything that I have to say on the issue. I encourage you to go back and listen to it.
Can you point me to which episode it was so that I can go back and hear everything that you had to say?
142. Episode 142.
I'll write it down here.
Yeah, great. 42. So you're going to go now and listen to it now?
I'm going to go listen to it now.
Yeah, great. What do you reckon the alternatives were for the name Bluetooth when they were naming Bluetooth, Alistair? What do you reckon? What do you think? Wet thumb? Do you think that was one of them? What do you think?
Wet thumb?
Wet thumb? Do you think that was up there with Bluetooth as a possibility? What do you think? Brown... nose.
Brown nose?
Yeah.
I think that was close. Nose. That would have been... At first, I thought this was going to be silly, but then I was like,
brown nose. Brown nose actually seems actually probably like a more plausible name, because what is brown nosing? It's getting up in somebody's business. It's sort of trying to ingratiate yourself with someone to make a connection. I mean, it's seeking...
It's a pairing.
It's a pairing, exactly. Yeah, right. I think it should have been called brown nosing. They want to be on your list of approved connections?
I think it's closer to 69. It's closer to 69ing because you can receive and
send.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right. But yeah, that's a difficult thing to do physically. Oh,
physically is to 69 or to Bluetooth?
To brown nose 69, I would have thought that's involving too much stretching.
Andy, in terms of the sexual positions, which ones do you consider the implausible ones?
Anyway, can we put down
69ing is one of those.
Renaming Bluetooth as brown.
Andy only does one position, and that's the wheelbarrow. Just a normal wheelbarrow.
It's just the wheelbarrow, and that's where you load.
It's the handyman's favorite.
That's right. Yes, the landscape gardener's friend, I call it.
That's how you can be fixing things around the garden while also having a beautiful time with your beloved.
Well, it's difficult to find the time these days to connect with people in your life, you know, because we're under so much pressure and there's a lot of expectation. Everybody's trying to have it all. But with my new range of sex-based garden implements, you can combine these two essential parts.
It's a series of shirts that you've made for different positions that allow you to get other things done while you're having sex.
And it's all shirt-based, is it?
It's all shirt-based. And so you can wear... A sort of a shirt with a big scoop on the back, which would allow you to then walk the person around, or they can walk you around.
Yeah.
While they're, I suppose they're pegging you, Andy. I think that's probably the nice thing, because it's kind of your idea. So I suppose you'd be like, "No, hon, I'll just wear this shirt while you peg me."
Yeah.
And wheelbarrow
garden?
Position.
Ah, yeah, wheelbarrow. Sure.
And then she'll, you know, push you around, and then she'll pick up dirt with her foot, I guess, suppose, while she's doing it like that, and lift it onto your big spoony scoop in the back like that.
Wow. I mean,
you know,
That seems implausible. Yeah. While we're on it.
There could be another one. There could be another one that would
she,
just be like,
it's I
just
guess a, it's she a shirt has to have a... shovel shoes, right? She has shovel
yes,
shoes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that shovel shoes. She can kick into the crowd and flick the dirt up onto my back. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we'll write this down, but also write down brown nosing as the original name of Bluetooth, Alistair, because I strongly believe in that idea.
Okay.
That's a strong belief from me.
That's a strong belief. You knew I wasn't going to write that one down, right?
No, so I can sense these things. I am the next step in human evolution.
I didn't know. I didn't know that we had even had considered that that would be a sketch idea. So I love that. So there's another shirt as well, another sex shirt.
Yeah.
Would be one again. It would be one with a skateboard on the back.
Mm.
Right? And so that somebody can have sex with you, Andy, while you're on your back.
Planting carrots.
And
And I'm rolling along planting carrots.
I suppose you could be planting carrots. I suppose you could probably also just have a plow hat.
Mm. Okay.
You know, But I was just picking, you know, that way you could be sort of tilling the soil or whatever. But I was just picturing, you know, as a way of using sex as a mode of transport.
Because
there's a lot of wasted energy there, isn't there?
Sure. Sure there is. Now,
a terrible
my
waste.
Beloved has just arrived home. I thought she was going direct to swimming with the children. She has just got back to the house. So she's going to come in. We're probably going to continue talking. I might say hello to her. This is just going to roll in as part of the podcast.
So there's not going to be any disruption at all, basically. You're just saying, you know.
Yeah.
You're just letting us know.
Mm, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Just letting you know, I'm recording a podcast at the moment. No, that's fine. I didn't expect that you'd be back, but it's great to see you. Thanks for doing the shopping. This is going out. This is part of the podcast. Yeah.
Hi, Carly.
There you go.
Do you know if Carly wants to say hi to all the other listeners?
Carly, do you want to say hello to the listeners?
Hi, listeners.
That was nice.
That was really nice. It was magnificent.
Yeah,
Carly's
left. Now.
Okay, right. And now she's right. All right, we did it.
So, yes, obviously there's all of those. I was thinking of a shirt that I guess is a kind of a ladder on the front of it so that, you know, you could climb up somebody's front to get things out of an apple tree. And obviously that'll place your genitals near their oral region for anything that you want to do, you know, while you're picking fruit.
Obviously. Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess you could make a shirt like that that has like a flag holding thing so that you could sort of be at a, like a, you know, at the Olympic opening ceremony.
Yeah.
You know, whilst having sex.
Yeah.
I guess.
Great. I mean, that's not so much gardening, but.
No, well, I know, but I'm saying there are a series of shirts so you can get things done while you're having sex. I mean, obviously gardening is great.
Well, I mean, okay, but all the examples we've come up with up until this point were gardening. And then I think to leap from that to the Olympic ceremony.
My second one wasn't a gardening one, but then you said to plant carrots. And so you made it a gardening one.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's completely okay. I don't know if I would normally use a skateboard to get around a garden.
Yeah. I mean, you'd need big wheels, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Be one of those off-road.
Yeah. But that's okay. Maybe, you know, maybe it would be better to have tracks like on a tank.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right.
What about this? What about a comedian in a country that has a dictator? And his satire manages to take down the dictator.
That's a really great sketch idea.
Right.
He makes points so cutting, right?
I think the
military police that are sent to like basically drag him away and torture him to death, it actually their bodies shut down. They fall to the ground immobile. Because of the power of his satire or her satire.
That's quite possible. I think that there could be a lot of stuff in the idea of any satire actually working is a very kind of ridiculous premise for comedy.
Yeah, well, I think any, like, you know, you could also if you could somehow graph satire, and then in so doing you basically cast it as another like fiscal indicator, right? Because, you know, I think a lot of the time people say that, you know, there won't be a revolution until, you know, people's living standard reaches some kind of, like, tipping point, right? A lot of the time. But what if you could graph satire, and you could talk about the satire index and how, like, critically close it is getting to the point at which the regime will completely collapse. Were you listening to a thing I said, Alistair?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so then they could see it coming.
Yeah. You know, it would be reported on the nightly news as about, like, oh gosh, you know, and we could be within 10 to 12 tweets of a complete regime change.
Yeah, and so then I guess the dictator could just send out some assassins to kill you before that happened.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if it's a global, broader thing, if it's not an individual comedian. And it's just the general amount of satire and amount of, stuff on Twitter and that kind of thing. Once you know that you're that close, you might as well push ahead and get over the line. Satire. Yeah.
Andy, I love it.
What I love about it is that we're satiring satire.
Well, yeah. I mean,
who satirizes the satirizers?
Yeah.
No, we are, Alistair. We're satirizing satire because we're talking about, we're drawing attention to its inherent flaws and its inability to actually do anything.
Yeah. Have I told you I don't really like satire?
Yeah, I think you might have. Yeah, have you told the show that we work on?
No. I mean, yeah, I don't even like referring it to it as satire.
Right.
If anything, that's one of my least favorite things. You know, like, I don't even like talking about something being comedy, but I even worse like referring to something as being satire.
Yeah, I think because of myself as a satirist. That's my profession. Yeah. That's my calling is as a satirist, actually. Yeah, I like to.
Well, you have on your Twitter that you're a satire grifter.
Yeah, that's right. What do you think that means? What does that mean to you?
Do you is that you're trying to trick the satire into giving you some money? Which I guess is kind of what you've done, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's more or less what it means. That I'm tricking people into giving me money by doing satire. Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, thanks. But I'm sorry if it made you uncomfortable at any point.
No. But like, okay, wait. I'm just going to write down sketch idea is satire.
Yeah. Changing works. Anything. Satire works. Yeah.
That's great. I mean, I guess if anybody could be taken down by any kind of joke, then they probably wouldn't be people in power.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the quote. I think there's a quote from Peter Cook.
Yeah, about that group of that group of German ones who made a huge impact.
Who did so much to prevent the rise of Adolf Hitler. Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah, all right, Andy, we've really run out of steam here. So,
Alistair, I think we've done okay. We've got a decent number of sketch ideas.
We've got five sketch ideas in between after All Bone Man.
Mm.
I reckon we can go to our second three words from a listener.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited about doing this for a second time. I'm feeling like this could be my time because I've got a bit of a run-up now.
Yeah, I think you're going to be good this time, Andy.
Yeah, okay, so the first word is leaves.
Wait, the three words come from Jacob Irving.
Jacob Irving.
Hello, Jacob Irving.
Hi, Jacob.
Thank you so much.
So the first word is leaves, L-E-A-V-E-S, leaves.
You've got two of the letters right, and one letter is really close.
Wow. Is one of them a W instead of a V?
No, it's a Y.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot like a V.
Yeah, so, okay, we got, here's how the word is spelled, A-Y-E.
I, yeah, okay, great.
A.
All right. The second word is weaves. Weaves. W-E-A-V-E-S.
Oh, you got two of the letters right. It's the second letter is B. B-E-E.
Okay. I B C. The third word is C S W E. Thank you.
Incorrect. The third word is S E A C.
Great. A B C. Okay, well, you know, what does it sound like? Sounds like you're saying yes to a pirate captain who is also a B.
I B C.
Not really.
No, yeah, it's not like, because I guess it's like you're saying I to an ocean of bees.
You know what is kind of a nice idea though is having a pirate who has a bee on his shoulder, right? Mm. It's a little bee there and somebody, on his shoulder,
and then somebody who doesn't realize that that's his like parrot is swats it, and then there's a lot of trouble, and then
all sorts of strife.
They walk him off a plank into a big pot of honey.
You know what?
And you can see in the honey there. There's all these bones of former soldiers. And then after the guy's dead, he just goes to the beehive. There's a beehive on the ship, and then he goes and grabs another bee and puts it on his shoulder.
Well, we do know that people can make a beard out of bees, right?
Yeah. Oh.
So bee beard. As a pirate, what do you think of that? I mean, we've already been through a lot of different beards, and I think, you know,
yellow
maybe
beard.
One of the things that probably caused the whole piracy, ancient piracy thing to collapse as it did was that they basically maxed out, you know, like when we had phone numbers and there were only like six digits in a phone number, you reached a maximum number of identifiers. Mm. Well, when you're trying to identify pirates by their beard color,
it was the only way that they could get yellow and black beard together. So that's when they had to start combining, and they had to find ways to make sense.
So bee beard, the pirate. And I would actually find beard. That terrifying. You know, man striding that's towards me,
and he's always got a queen bee in his mouth.
Ah, is that how you do
he's
it?
He's got it. I think so. Yeah.
Fucking hell. I mean, what was the first guy to put a queen bee in his mouth thinking?
What did he think he was doing? Sucking off a horse? makes sense.
Well, I don't know, but it was funny. It's definitely a funny thing to say. It was so random, Alistair.
Do you think do you think if you accidentally ate the queen bee, they would still stay on you?
Well, they don't know.
Well, because obviously they come to you because they can smell her pheromones or something, right?
Sure. Yeah, that must be it. Yeah.
And so then if you've just eaten her, then...
She's still inside you. Maybe
but I guess some of her pheromones will just stick around?
You'd hope. Yeah. But, you know, maybe she passes through your digestive system and then out your butt, and then they swarm around your butt.
Yeah, I wonder then. Yeah, if then they go into the toilet.
Has anybody
just flush them all away?
You know how they're always looking for a new outfit for the Met Gala? Have any, and has anyone ever gone to the Met Gala covered in bees?
Was the Met Gala supposed to be camp? And I guess there's nothing more like sort of summer camp than somebody covered in bees.
We did it. That's a flawless connection. I'm happy with Beebeard the pirate Alistair as a.
I know, but can we build up his life a little bit more?
Well, let's see. I mean, I imagine that, you know, a treasure chest full of gold. That's quite like.
How did he get to this point?
Full of honey.
I guess he would have been, you know. I mean, I guess historically, there's probably no examples of any pirates that actually had a parrot. But the idea that you would have a pirate ship that had flowers on it, so that you could sustain bees, so that you could have some honey.
Well, yeah. I mean, that checks out. I think with that new Our Flag Means Death show being so popular, Taika Waititi's new show with Rhys Darby, I think there's going to be a lot of interest in this. That's a sort of a gay love story, and, you know, this has a lot of potential in that department as well, I think. I think it's ripe. The moment is ripe for Beebeard. It also would work well, I think, as an animated series, you know, kids series.
Oh, yeah, Beebeard.
Beebeard. I mean, it could, what it is, okay, this is the story. It's a little kid, right? But then when he puts a, he's trying to make it as a pirate, right? He's trying to make it as a pirate. The real captain falls overboard or something like that, and nobody believes that this little kid could be the captain until he gets a bee beard, and that's his way of passing as a pirate captain. And he can sort of transform between these two personas.
And he was just doing that because he was trying to because he was terribly hungry. And they were out at sea. They just lost their captain, and he tried to eat one of the bees.
So they already did have bees on the ship, yeah.
And then he accidentally put the queen in his mouth, and then all the other bees
swarmed, you
know,
to him.
Basically, you know, we're realizing that pirates have created a new form of government that is entirely based on who has the biggest beard.
I mean, it does seem like that, doesn't it? It seems very much like the as close as we get to like that silverback kind of gorilla type scenario.
Yeah. Well, Andy, I think I'm happy with that. I think that was good backstory. Well.
Thanks, Al.
No, but Andy, I want you to know I'm happier than you are about that.
Well, you being happy makes me extra happy. So that might over.
You being extra happy makes me extra happy.
Oh, fuck. All right, well, then that's where I stop being happy. I start to get quite angry.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that, Andy. Yeah. But being sorry makes me happy as well.
Do you want to take us through the sketch ideas today, Alistair?
All right, we got All Bone Man. This is endoskeleton, exoskeleton. This is the whole thing. All the sensory organs, they're all skeleton. It's a new type of man. Then we got Women have missed out on the urinal cake evolution. That's just a...
So what would we have it like? Maybe we should have a museum, right? A urinal museum so that women can come and witness the progress. It's for women. Yep, they can go in there.
Yeah.
Now, obviously there's a risk, right? You let men in, suddenly there's an emergency. They're running around looking for a functional urinal. Yeah. All sorts of things could happen. You're asking for trouble. But, you know, we didn't get into this business because it was going to be easy.
The thing is, Andy, is that I actually got into this to ask for trouble.
Right.
I thought that this museum could give me a big enough platform to allow me to ask people for trouble. And you know, I think I would strike enough people that maybe somebody would give me the trouble that I seek.
I think you're going to get it. I got some good news in that department.
Oh, my God. That makes making me even more happy.
Good news and trouble?
Then we got the urinary weights for peeing.
I think last episode you specifically said, God, we've had a lot of shit and toilet stuff recently. And I'm really glad that there's no chance of that changing anytime soon.
Me too. And now we've got, then we got the brown nosing for Bluetooth. That's the original Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And then we've got Satire Works. That's another sketch idea. And then we've got Beebeard the Pirate.
Terrific. 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 Everything is good. Terrific. Terrific. Everything is good. Oh, my God.
We did it, Andy.
No, I fell off the wagon a long time ago, Alistair. Wagon. Yeah, the wagon. We were on a wagon. We were on a word wagon.
Wagon.
Hey, look, but while we're stopped by the side of the road, I'd like to once again promote my book, Gustav and Henry, written with Peter Thomas. There's a link to it below the show notes down there. And you know, click on it, buy a copy from you know, from somewhere online or from your local bookstore. And that'd be great. It's a very funny adventure series.
What's it called, Andy?
It's called Gustav and Henry. I already said that, but you did cough over it. So, but it's sorry also, you know, got a very nice little review from James Clement and Claire Tonti on their Suggestible podcast. It's holy very moly. Kind of them.
You should listen to the Suggestible podcast if you are interested.
Mm, that's right. Then you'll be able to hear about someone recommending my book.
Yeah. But also, you know, it's not it can't hurt for us to promote their podcast.
No, indeed. Imagine if it did, though.
God. Oh, well.
Do you have anything to plug, okay, Alistair? Oh, you're never going to promote anything ever again, are you?
That's my goal, is to never promote anything ever again. So look out for that.
Mm.
I'm going to be doing that. I gotta go pick up my kid from school, so... It's been a real joy, Andy. I hope Andy, I hope that today you have a really good sleep tonight. And everybody else, I hope that you have a good waking time.
Yes. And also with you. And we
love
you.
You.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.